The most important contribution management needs to make in the 21st century is similarly to increase the productivity of knowledge work and the knowledge worker. Now look over here. See, here's the manual worker. Here's the knowledge worker. The most valuable asset of a 20th century company was its equipment, not people. People were necessary, but replaceable. You could churn manual workers. The most valuable asset of a 21st century is production equipment. The most valuable asset of a 21st century institution, whether business or non-business, will be its knowledge workers and their productivity. So the new capital is what? People. Intellectual capital, social capital. If you have only intellectual capital, but you have low trust cultures, won't work. You have to have high trust. And the affirmation that the asset is people. But guess where we got our paradigm of accounting, which makes people an expense, not an asset. It's only machines that are assets. Came from the industrial age. Guess where we got our motivational philosophy? Carrot and sticking. If you produce, you get the carrot. If you don't produce, you get the stick. It's called the great jackass theory of human motivation. Came from the industrial age, working with manual workers. But people are still applying the industrial age model to knowledge workers. And it insults them. Guess how we do performance appraisal in the industrial age? It's called the sandwich technique. Say a few nice words. Appreciate you so much. Slip in the knife, areas of improvement. And then a few nice words on the other end to send them on their way. Keep going, all the best to your family. When we want your opinion, we'll give it to you. Now, do you want to see the fruit of this? Watch. We have a large group here today. This is very good sampling. This is a larger group than you get in USA surveys today. It is. It's a very large group, very heterogeneous. Admittedly, it's in this one area. But you have representation of all kinds of businesses, people at different level, education, healthcare, government, military, the ministry. We have a huge representation here. This is good sampling. Okay, now watch this. How many here agree that the vast majority of the workforce in your organizations possess more capability, more intelligence, more creativity, etc., than their present jobs require or even allow them to use? How many would agree? Look at the hands. Look around the room. You're a scientist. Look at the hands. It's almost every hand. In other words, we have 8 cylinders, we're only allowed to use 4 of them because of the industrial age model of control. Why? You control things, and things are your greatest investments and assets, and people are your expenses, and the concept of management means control. So you control people and you disallow the full use of their capabilities and talents. Management is another word for control. That is the paradigm, the model of the industrial age. And you've seen, right from the raise of hands, here's what we have found. 95%, and I've done this all over the world. I mean, the Far East, India, South Africa, all through Europe, all through South America, North America, the islands, Australia, Russia. Now, let me ask you another question. How many feel a lot of pressure to produce more for less? Look at the hands. Look at the hands. Same hands. Put that question up. Okay, get ready, 3 o'clock, because you're going to teach. You're going to lead the discussion on the dilemma between those two questions. Sandra said to me, Joshua just had a sleepover, 9 years old, and I was telling him how great his friend was because he made his bed on his own, and he came on his own to help me with the dishes. I mean, prepare the breakfast. And I said to him, Joshua, your friend, what an amazing kid. Of course, Mom, he's the guest. Duh. See, that's the first time I'd ever heard that word. And she said, well, what do you mean? Well, what do you think I'm like when I'm at his home? Duh. Okay, now let's put duh up here. Go ahead, 3 o'clock. You discuss that dilemma. Under pressure to produce more for less and not even allowed to use 4 of the 8 cylinders. We have 8 cylinders. We're only allowed to use 4 of them because of the industrial model of control. People are an expense. You control or manage things. You control or manage people. It is a flawed paradigm. The mindset is what we're talking about now. Now let me show you one other thing. Here is the question. What percent of the time and talent spent in your organization is spent in the following kinds of dysfunctional activities: defensive and protective communication, interpersonal conflicts, interdepartmental rivalries, playing political games, reading the tea leaves, developing and operating on hidden agendas, etc., etc., etc. Just shout out your percentage at your table. If your boss is sitting there, turn to the table next to you and shout it out. Okay, thank you. We've done this all over the world, and this is generally what we have found. 75% or more of the people say that greater than 25% of their time is spent in dysfunctional activities. 25% plus say greater than 50% of their time is spent in dysfunctional activities. And these numbers grow up the higher you move in an organization. So we'll remove one more cylinder. It's called social friction. We're only allowed to use 3 of the 8. We have cultivated a culture of blame. A culture of blame. They're very interrelated together. The control paradigm and the blame culture. Okay. Let's go deeper into the problem. Everyone close your eyes for a second. No peeking. Point north. Don't peek. Just make your own best guess. Point north. Don't peek. Keep pointing. Now open your eyes. See where people are pointing. I'm just looking at this table. This way. This way, this way. Here's 3 people right together. That way, that way. Here's someone over here pointing straight up. Now, my friends, do you want to have another experience just like this tomorrow? Just like this, I will guarantee it. There'll be a few exceptions, but very few. You go back to your organization tomorrow morning, ask the first 10 people you meet, what is the purpose of this organization? Take any level, any division, any unit, any team, any executive committee, any board, and say, what is its purpose? And you write down what they say, I'll guarantee you it'll be just like pointing north. People are not on the same page. Till eventually, the confusion causes such misalignment that people gradually get focused on their personal agendas more than so-called an organizational agenda. If you're really courageous, tonight at the dinner table with your loved ones, say, what is the purpose of our family? They'll think you have been seminared for sure. That mom or dad has totally flipped out. Purpose of our family? But push it a little. Really, what is our purpose? Because everyone has a purpose, it's just that most people have not decided it. Some criterion is being used for decision making. Implicit criteria. And that's where the purpose and the values are.